Amen. We'll come back to Proverbs chapter 1, but if you would flip over to Ephesians chapter 4 in the New Testament, the title of my sermon this evening is, Don't Believe Everything That You Hear. Don't believe everything that you hear. There is a lot of garbage out there, disinfo, lies, deception, and we need to be careful not to be gullible and to just blindly believe whatever is put in front of us. We're living in the information age, but there's great access that we can have access to, great information that we can have access to and take advantage of. And there's a lot of just garbage out there. And sometimes it can be hard to discern between that which is true and that which is a lie. So we need to make sure that as Christians, we get some discretion, wisdom, understanding, so that we don't just believe everything that we hear. Look at Ephesians chapter number 4, beginning in verse 11. The Bible says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now notice, he's saying, I gave you pastors, teachers, prophets, evangelists. Why have they been given to us? To build us up in our faith, to teach us, to edify us. Why? Verse 14, so that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, right? Every trendy doctrine that comes up, we don't want to just jump on every bandwagon and just be tossed around. And one year we believe this, the next year we believe that. We're just all over the place. Pastors and teachers are there to stabilize us, ground us and root us in the faith so that we're grown up and mature and we don't just fall for everything that a little child would fall for. You see, children are pretty gullible. You could tell them just about anything. And because they don't know anything about the world, they trust you and they just believe you. And that's in many ways a good thing, but it's not good for an adult to be that way, right? To just believe everything that people tell you. You've got to mature and grow up. The reason it's okay for kids is because kids are with their parents, and we would assume that their parents actually love them and care about them and will not lead them down a dark path and just fill their mind with all kind of lies and foolishness. But when you get out in the world, there are a lot of people who do want to lead you down a dark path. You see, the Bible says right after that, in verse number 14 there, it says, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. Sleight of men. Right? You've probably heard of sleight of hand tricks, right? These are when magicians will do something that makes it seem like they've used magic, but really it's just sleight of hand, right? It's just an optical illusion. It's just misdirection. They get you looking in a different direction so that you don't see what they're doing over here. And it says, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So there are people out there planning to deceive you, planning to trick you. They want to lie to you. You are the target of their malicious disinformation campaign. And so we need to be equipped with the tools to be able to discern between truth and falsehood. And that's what the Bible is saying. Part of the purpose of church is to do that for us, right? Because we go to church, we grow up in the faith, pastors and teach us, feed us with knowledge, and then we're not anymore just children that can be just shepherded down whatever path of doctrine or wild-eyed conspiracy theories or whatever, because we have some basic knowledge to protect us from those things. Now, if you would go back to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. The Bible says in Proverbs 14, verse 15, the simple believeth every word. And all throughout Proverbs, we have this guy called the simple one. And the simple one's not necessarily a bad guy, but he just doesn't have enough experience about the world yet. He's either a literal child or he has the mentality of a child where he doesn't understand how much falsehood is out there, and so he just kind of believes everything. So the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his goings. Okay, we've got to prove all things, the Bible says. Hold fast that which is good. What does that mean to prove all things? It means to test all things, make sure that they are really true. Before we just blindly believe things, we need to do a fact check. When we hear something, when we see something online, we need to fact check it. Now, unfortunately, there are groups of people out there known as fact checkers, and you've got these fact checker websites. And the problem with these websites is not that they're checking facts, because if that's what they were doing, that'd actually be a great idea. It would actually be a great service to have somebody tell you, hey, this is fake. Hey, this has been photoshopped. This isn't real. And if that's all these fact checkers did, it would actually be extremely helpful. If they just told you, hey, this is photoshopped, here's the original image, here's what they've done to it, end of story. But instead, these are politically motivated, extremely biased organizations where it's just, it's incredible where you can literally read the headline of their article and then read the article and they literally debunk themselves in the article. You know, I don't really have any good examples in front of me, but one example just kind of is popping into my mind that I remember, and this is kind of a throwback to several years ago, but I remember one time there was some story that popped up in social media that said, like, oh, these two guys got kicked out of a baseball game for refusing to put on the COVID mask or something. It was something along those lines, right? And then the article was like, mostly false or whatever. It's labeled as like, misleading, missing context, mostly false, right? And then you click on it, it's like, well, they didn't get thrown out for, you know, not wearing the mask. It was more like, you know, they wouldn't put on the mask, so then they were told to leave because they wouldn't put on the mask, and then they got kicked out for, like, refusing to leave. And so it was like trespassing. So they were actually kicked out for trespassing, or like, hey, this guy's running on the beach or whatever, and, you know, he's getting chased down by a cop because he's not wearing a mask and he's not social distancing. He's literally just like jogging on the beach by himself. And supposedly this is going to spread COVID. And then it's like mostly false because, you know, he was, you know, they had closed the beach because of COVID and he's trespassing. It's like, no. That's not what a fact checker is supposed to do, just interpreting the information and putting some weird spin on it. Like, the people that were saying those things weren't lying. They were actually telling the truth about what happened just because they worded it in a way that you didn't like or whatever. I mean, this whole, like, missing context thing is 99% a bunch of baloney. Basically, here's the context. Let us tell you our beliefs and ideology, and then you can use that to interpret this. That's the context you're missing, our beliefs. How's that a fact check? And maybe those aren't the best examples in the world. Those are just the ones that kind of popped into my mind because I don't sit around reading social media or fact check sites. But it just seems like every single time I've clicked on one of these fact check articles, literally the headline will say one thing, but then you read, and then they kind of admit, like, well, yeah, actually, it did kind of happen that way. But what they're counting on is that 99% of people don't read the article. They just read the headline. False, mostly false, and then they just reject it out of hand. Obviously, those are not issues that I care about, but the point is that these fact checkers and whatever are not going to do your work for you. You kind of need to do your own fact check in this world. You can't trust someone else necessarily to be your fact checker. You've got to do that yourself. And you've got to learn how to prove all things and to know what is real and what isn't. And if you don't, if you become one of these gullible people who just believes everything, you know, it leads to this mentality where you get all these crazy beliefs like flat earth. Right? I mean, it's amazing that we're still talking about this in 2024. This was a thing that first came up, I believe, about maybe 15, 16 years ago. Pastor Dave Berzins showed it to me, and he's like, did you know that there are actually flat earthers out there? I was like, no, give me a break. And he's like, yeah, let me show you. And we were laughing at it and making fun of it. And then, like, a few years later, like, we weren't laughing because it was like, we were running into them in real life, and it was like, it was starting to be a thing. And still, in 2024, I mean, we literally get physical letters in the mail about this, like, every month. People just mail us a letter about flat earth, and we, you know, people are leaving comments and emails, And even that, you can't even necessarily believe that all that stuff is real, because a lot of the people leaving those comments, because my wife was just telling me that you know, she was part of some group and all these flat earthers were blah, blah, blah. But I was telling her that, you know, some of these flat earthers are literally robots. Okay. And what do I mean by that? I'm not talking about the ones you run into in real life, folks. Okay. I'm talking about online. Yeah, they're robots. No, but seriously, here's what I mean. I remember one time back when I had a YouTube channel, and YouTube did this big purge of fake accounts, because there are so many people that have made fake accounts, and they have just basically just robots just making fake accounts, and then there are like people in a sweatshop in the Philippines just making fake accounts all day. I mean, I saw an article where it showed a guy literally in the Philippines, and he was sitting next to a pile of SIM cards, like the size of a car or something. Think about how small a SIM card is. And he just had just a mountain of SIM cards. He just had a whole organization, just a whole sweatshop of just full-time people just making fake accounts all day. Picture, profile, life story, friends, interests, and just fake accounts to sell the fake accounts to all kinds of nefarious organizations that would use those fake accounts. But I remember when YouTube did a purge of the fake accounts, like 5% of my subscribers disappeared overnight, because they said, hey, we're gonna purge these fake accounts. So then boom, it was like you lost some tiny amount of subscribers, whatever, good riddance, get rid of the stupid fake accounts. But then I remember there was this bozo Tyler Doka, who is this flat earth guy, and his channel, from one day to the next, lost like 60% of its subscribers. Just tens of thousands of accounts gone like that, because that's how many fake accounts were following this flat earth thing. You know, so what I'm saying is, you can't believe everything that you hear, or you're gonna go down this crazy train path of believing things like flat earth or hollow earth. And look, I remember one thing that particularly bothers me is when they say, did you know that NASA means deceive in Hebrew? Right? And by the way, you should always beware of people telling you anything about Greek and Hebrew. Like, right away, you should just be skeptical right away, because bozos abound who just want to tell you all about Greek and Hebrew. They don't know a lick of Greek. They don't know a lick of Hebrew. They don't speak the language, but they're going to tell you, you know, that nasa is the Hebrew verb for deceive. It's not true. It's false. It's not. It's wrong. It's a lie. Actually, the verb that means to deceive is nasha, totally different letter, okay? Sh, not s. And if you say, well, that doesn't matter, well, I guess you need to read that story in Judges about Shibboleth versus Sibboleth, and then you'll find out it is a totally different word and that it does matter. Right. It's actually the word nasha, and here's what's funny about that. There is a verb in Hebrew, nasa, and you want to know what it means? There are actually two verbs in Hebrew, nasa. One of them means to go on a journey, and the other one means to lift up or to raise up. I mean, those actually sound like kind of an interesting parallel with NASA. You know, we're ready for liftoff. We're going to journey into outer space, right? But that doesn't fit this weird, stupid, flat earth agenda. So I was just, did you know that in the Hebrew, it's 99% baloney when people are telling you what the Hebrew says, telling you what the Greek says. You want to know what the Hebrew Old Testament says? Read a King James Bible, and that'll tell you what the Hebrew Old Testament says. You want to know what the Greek New Testament says? Read a King James New Testament. That'll tell you what the Greek says right there. And don't listen to these fake scholars and fake experts and people who claim to know things that they actually don't know. You've got to fact check. You got to prove all things. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. It says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. So the goal of the book of Proverbs is that we would know things, right? We would know wisdom and instruction, but also that we would be able to perceive the words of understanding. What does it mean to perceive something? It means that you know it when you see it, you can recognize it, you know, you can discern between good and evil, you can discern between true and false. You perceive the words of understanding means that you identify, yes, I'm actually listening to the words of understanding versus the words of a fool, versus words of nonsense. And also, perceiving the words of understanding means to fully understand them and grasp them and so forth. It says in verse number 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. Verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Now, of course, it's great to hear and increase learning, right? We want to listen and learn, and we want to make sure that we're reading and studying and listening to smart people tell us things. But here's the thing. We need to attain unto wise counsels. We need to make sure that we're not just listening to stuff and learning from it, but that we're attaining to wise counsels, right? That we're considering the source of where we're getting things and not just listening to whatever. You know, when it comes to studying and learning, obviously the one source that we can trust above all others is the Bible. Amen. You know, at least with the Bible, we know it's true. We know that God's precepts concerning all things are right all the time. God's right about everything. This is the book that we can trust right here. Anything that's not the Bible, we can't know for sure right out of the gate that it's true. It has to be checked. It has to be proved. It has to be examined, right? The Bible is the only thing that we can just blindly trust. We can just say, hey, we know it's God's word. We have faith in that. That's our basic assumption. And so we read the Bible, and we're not just sitting there wondering, oh, I wonder if this is true. That's a stupid way to read the Bible. The Bible's God's word. Amen. Shut up and believe it because God said so. But that's where that mentality stops. We should not have that mentality toward our pastor. We should not have that mentality toward any other book. Only the Bible holds that place of preeminence of being an absolute fountain of truth, an absolute source. Other things need to be tested. But that being said, let me tell you something. Books, actual books. I'm talking about something that you can physically hold in your hand and literally turn the pages, are typically a better source of information than random articles on the internet and random YouTube videos. I know that's hard to believe, but it's true. Things like encyclopedias and books, here's why they are typically more trustworthy. And obviously, you could get a book that's full of baloney as well. But one of the things that you should look for when you're looking at a book and you want to know, is what I'm reading really true? Is this really accurate? Is that a book that is really trustworthy and reliable is typically going to tell you where the information came from that they're presenting to you. Right? And you know, a lot of people will be down on Wikipedia as being a bad source of information because obviously Wikipedia sometimes can be highly slanted because, you know, whoever's writing the article can have a certain slant or whatever. But here's the nice thing about Wikipedia is that at the bottom of every Wikipedia article, you have actual footnotes and citations for all the information that's presented in that article. And so here's the thing, if you're reading a Wikipedia article and you come to something that you're not sure about and where you're doubting it, then you can actually go to the bottom of the page and see where that information is coming from and see if it's a reliable source, and you can actually go and check that out. And sometimes things will be stated on Wikipedia. You go down to the footnote, you follow that source, you go back to the primary source, and you find out that it isn't there. It isn't real. They've misrepresented what's being said. And now you know, hey, this isn't necessarily a true claim because at the bottom of the page, I went to the source and it didn't pan out. Okay, but conversely, you can also go down to the bottom of the page, go to that source, follow it, and find out, hey, this really is legitimate information. This is true. So Wikipedia is not necessarily a bad source. You just have to know how to use Wikipedia. You don't get just blindly read it, but you go down and you check things and make sure that they're real. Also, in a textbook, let's say you have an elementary school textbook or a high school textbook or a college textbook. At the end of each chapter, there will be notes and footnotes and citations telling you where the information is coming from, and you can actually fact check things. And look, I know that there are things that are wrong in textbooks, and people love to point out the lies and the errors in textbooks. But you know what? Textbooks are still 100 times more trustworthy than some random guy on YouTube or some random blogger or some random Twitter account. You know, textbooks are usually pretty stinking accurate. And if they're not, then, you know, that's probably more the exception than the rule. But you know what? Everybody's just like, oh man, textbooks are good. You know what? Because people don't want to do any real learning. They don't want to do any real reading. They don't want to do any real study because they actually have to pick up some big heavy book and read a few hundred pages. They'd rather just watch YouTube. They'd rather watch a little 7-minute, you know, read a little 700-word article on Blogger or something. And they, you know, they're smart, they're educated. They did research. You want to know why people are so mad at textbooks? Because they're too lazy to read a book that has that many words in it. You know, Kant Hovind. Lies in the textbooks. You know what? Yeah, of course you can find, you know, evolutionists putting dumb crap in a textbook. But you know what? The thing is, Kant Hovind doesn't want to read textbooks because he's too lazy to do any real learning, real math, or real science because he's a bogus phony. I'm going to get back to him later in the sermon. I don't want to talk about him right now, but I'm going to come back to him. Okay. Don't believe everything that you hear. You know what everybody's flipping out about right now? The solar eclipse. Folks, do you know that solar eclipses are just constantly happening, like all the time, frequently? I mean, I haven't looked at any tables or charts on this recently, so don't quote me on this. But, you know, if memory serves, these things happen like every, like, what, 3-4 years or something? You have solar eclipses? I mean, it's something that happens constantly. And look, it's happening in 2024. I know it's coming through Dallas, Texas, because Pastor Shelley was talking about it. A few other places across America. That's pretty cool. But I remember back in 2020, I had a missions trip planned to South America, and it ended up getting canceled because of all the COVID stuff. And I remember noticing that within like a week of when I was going down there, there was going to be a total solar eclipse near. And I was almost thinking about moving my flight. Like, oh man, this would be kind of a once in a lifetime thing in order to see this total solar eclipse. Maybe I should move my flight, you know, but it was a moot point because the whole trip got canceled anyway. But the point is, there were total solar eclipses all over the world on 2020. And now it's happening in 2024, and yet there's all this just stupidity and hysteria, and they're looking for Bible prophecies about it. Folks, solar eclipse and lunar eclipses are happening all the time. And you hear about the blood moon. Every time there's a lunar eclipse, the moon looks red. That's what a lunar eclipse is. A lunar eclipse when the moon looks red. It happens a lot. Okay, again, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it's a frequent occurrence. It doesn't mean anything. Now, you know, there's kind of a cool story that I read one time about how Christopher Columbus was having trouble with some of the natives on Hispaniola or something like that. And so he told them, hey, God's mad at you and God's going to blot out the sun on this particular date just to show he's mad at you. But really, he just had an almanac that actually just lists, and this is like 500 years ago, it just listed when all the eclipses are going to happen in different places. And so he predicted this eclipse, and then, oh, they're all freaked out, and they think that he has magic powers or something. But it's really just a normal cycle, just like everything else, just like the sun coming up in the morning, just like the phases of the moon, right? Solar eclipses and lunar eclipses are not random. They can easily be predicted. They're even predicting them thousands of years ago. Literally thousands of years ago, they knew what day eclipses were going to happen in various locations and so forth. Yeah, but Pastor Anderson, you don't understand. You know, this time, if you look at the path of the eclipses, it goes through a town called Nineveh. And then it goes through another town called Nineveh. And then it goes through a town called Jonah. But here's the dumb thing about that, is that literally you could take any eclipse path and just look at every single town, you know, just zoom in real close and just look at every little town, village, and hamlet in that path. And if it's not Jonah and Nineveh, you know, you'll find like hell, Michigan, and then you'll find like heaven. You know, you're going to find some other pattern. Because here's the thing. Why Jonah? Oh, it's the sign of the prophet Jonah. Come on. Why would it be Jonah? Why would it be Nineveh? It doesn't even make sense. Why? You know what? Because nobody picked Jonah or Nineveh. That's just what they found when they just scanned the path looking for something that sounded cool. You know what I mean? You could do that with anything. Because they chose Nineveh after. It's not like they said, you know what? When the apocalypse comes, you know, eclipses are going to come to a bunch of towns called Nineveh. Look, it's happening. No, no, no. It's like first they look where the eclipse is going. And then they look at the names and then bingo. Two Ninevehs and a Jonah. Let's go. It's like a slot machine, you know. Nineveh, Nineveh, Jonah. Ding, 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 ding. You know. And basically, it could have been something totally different. Could have been Paradise, California, and Hell, Michigan, and, you know, I don't know. Anybody else think of any funny town names? Boring Oregon, I don't know. And you know, but that wouldn't have been as exciting, you know, to, hey, it's going through boring Oregon. The point is that people hype up these things because they're just trying to get views. They're trying to deceive you. They want to get you to subscribe to their stupid Judaizing channel or pre-trib channel or whatever stupidity they're trying to shove down your throat. You can't just blindly believe everything that you hear. You've got to consider the source. You've got to attain unto wise counsels, right? You go to actual experts. You go to actual people who know things, and you learn from them. And let me tell you something. Books are typically going to be better than just whatever junk is floating around on the internet. And again, I'm not saying to blindly trust everything in books. Yeah, there are wrong things in textbooks. But to just say, oh, well, let's just never look at a textbook then. You know, we gotta stick to just, you know, Infowars.com. I mean, that's just a wrong conclusion. That's just throwing out the baby with the bathwater, my friend. Getting a little quiet out there. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Verse number 6. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Right? Fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know what the Bible tells me? That dumb people don't actually like to learn things. They hate wisdom and instruction. But what they call learning, listening to talk radio. That's learning. Studying is surfing the internet and scrolling through social media, right? Research is watching random homemade YouTube documentaries, right? Because they despise wisdom and instruction. They don't like real learning. They don't like to actually study and do math and do science and read and learn things. You know, they like to just take the shortcut and just have someone spoon feed them fun information. It's what they want. It's true. And this may not be the funnest sermon, but this is a true sermon. It's a sermon that people need to hear because of all the junk that gullible people are believing out there about these things. And here's the thing. It's not just obviously Christians that are lying and you know, fomenting hysteria about stupid things like solar eclipses and blood moons. Of course, atheists do the same thing. There was a documentary that came out a long time ago, I want to say about, 15, 20 years ago, called Zeitgeist. Who knows what I'm talking about? Remember that documentary, Zeitgeist? It's an atheistic documentary, and it was super popular, millions and millions and millions of views on YouTube. Who watched that documentary back in the day, right? Okay, well, here's the thing. This documentary is just going on and on. It's just going through all these ancient religions, and it's just saying, here's this ancient Egyptian god, and for all of these gods from the Sumerians and from the Assyrians and from Egypt and from all these different pagans before Christ, you know, he's just showing how all these gods are born on December 25th, and they all have 12 disciples, and they die, and then 3 days later, they rise again. Like, he's just going through, like, these checklists, and he's got all these really stylish graphics coming on the screen showing you this god, and he's got 12 disciples, and he walked on water, and, he's just attributing all these Christian things and saying that Christianity's not real. Christianity is just plagiarizing all these other gods from the past and everything. Here's the only problem with the documentary. None of it was true. Now, when I first was exposed to this documentary, and I saw this part, and it's, you know, portion of the documentary where it's just going through all these gods and these pagan gods, how they had all these attributes that resembled Christ, that, you know, my first thought was just like to actually think that what they were saying was actually true, that the information was actually true. And I just thought to myself, well, if there are all these false gods that are resembling Jesus, to me, that would just tell me that the devil is this great counterfeiter, and he's basically trying to have a replacement for Christ and trying to basically use motifs and things from Christianity. And the fact that they come before Christ doesn't really matter because of the fact that the Old Testament prophets are preaching about Christ and pointing to Christ and so forth. So that, you know, but here's the thing. I kind of went through that in my mind. I was like rationalizing it in my mind. But it turned out I didn't even have to, because it turned out none of it was true. Literally none of it was true. And even other atheists called the guy out and just debunked all of it. There's no citation. He doesn't give any sources. And I went and did my own fact check and tried to find the sources of these things. Couldn't find any of it. None of it was real. It's just a guy just making up lies. And so, you know, anybody can be guilty of this. And so you don't want to just blindly believe some documentary that you see, or even if it's something's on the History Channel or something, that doesn't necessarily make it legitimate, okay? Just because it looks fancy and has high quality production value, how do I know if it's true? First of all, the Bible is the final authority. Things that contradict the Bible aren't true. Because the Bible's the Word of God, the Bible's true, period. But not only that, you know, you have to go and say, well, where is this information coming from? And then the fact that there's a footnote or a citation, that's not enough. You have to go to that citation and look it up. Here's another big time fraud that lies a lot in her work, Gail Ripplinger. And look, we love Gail Ripplinger because she's King James only and whatever. But you know what? That doesn't excuse the fact that her books are filled with lies. It's that simple. You get her book, New World Order Bible Versions, or no, that's our movie. That's a good movie. What's it called? New Age Bible Versions. Yeah. Let me tell you something. I fact check everything in New World Order Bible Versions, and I'll stand by everything in that film, and you know, you can see me after the service and I can back up all that information. But let me tell you something. New Age Bible Versions by Gail Ripplinger, okay? If you look at the quotes that she has from people like Westcott and Hort, it'll literally be like two words, dot, 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 three words, dot, 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 three words, dot, dot, dot. Two. She will literally assemble a quote, putting like five phrases together in one sentence. And if you actually go and look up the original quote, it is not saying at all what she's making them say. Now, look, obviously, I'm 100% King James only. I don't believe in these modern perversions of the Bible. But let me tell you something. That doesn't mean that Gail Ripplinger's work is honest. That doesn't mean that she's not a fraud. Also, there's all kinds of misleading information on the back of the jacket about her education, trying to beef up her education, making it seem like she's some Harvard scholar and all this stuff. It's totally exaggerated. It's totally twisting the reality of her. She actually got like a bachelor's degree in like home economics or something. Like literally home ec. Okay? And if you look up her actual education versus the way it's portrayed on the back of the jacket, you know, it's two totally different things. And I remember my pastor back when that book came out saying like, oh, this book's great. People are really taking it seriously now that it's this like, you know, scholar from Harvard, and she's got all these degrees and everything. People are really taking this seriously, you know. But it turned out that her educational, resume wasn't even real. And it was totally twisted and totally exaggerated, okay. And then you look up the quotes and things. She has another book that's called Toxic Materials or Hazardous Materials. Yeah, Hazardous Materials. And in that book, she has a list of 52 times or 54 times that the King James supposedly doesn't match the Greek Textus Receptus, where the King James supposedly doesn't match Scrivener's Greek New Testament. And her point is, because she's a Ruckmanite, so she's her point is like, you know, the English corrects the Greek, and we can't trust the Greek, and the Greek New Testament hasn't been preserved. We got to go with the English only. And what's funny is, I literally got on the floor of my office, and I got a Greek New Testament, and I got a King James Bible, and I got her book, and I put them all in front of me, and I looked up every last one of those with a pen and a paper. I looked up all 52 of them or 54 of them or whatever. They were all lies except two. I mean, many of them were just total fabrications. The rest were twisting and exaggerating what was there to where literally only two of them were legitimate. The only two that were legitimate was that in one place, she said, well, there's an amen missing at the end of Ephesians. So I just pulled out my Greek New Testament and just wrote amen, and it was just done, fixed. I mean, what a nothing burger. And then the other one that panned out, the other one that turned out was true, was a place where instead of saying God, it said Lord. It was like it switched God and Lord. Oh, no, say it isn't so. That's funny because, you know, Jesus, when he quotes the book of Deuteronomy, you know, man does not live by bread alone. Yeah. In one of the Gospels, he said, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In the other one, it's every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. You're not going to believe this, but God and the Lord are the same person. And the Hebrew four-letter name of God, the Tetragrammaton, is translated in the King James Bible sometimes as God and sometimes as Lord, and it's the same word. Okay. But she just had a list of lies. But here's the average person who reads her book, they're not going to get out a Greek New Testament and a King James and sit there, and they're just going to be like, oh, wow, well, I mean, what do you do about these 50 discrepancies? I mean, you know, here they are, 50 discrepancies. Yeah, except that 48 of them are lies and two of them don't matter. They literally don't affect the meaning of the text at all. They're totally meaningless. And so there's all kinds of just fraud and disinfo out there. You got to watch out for this stuff. You got to make sure that you fact check. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, it says in verse 7 of Proverbs 1. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. You know, what's interesting about listening to mom and dad is at least you know who mom and dad are. At least you know where you're getting the information from. At least you know who you're dealing with, unlike whatever crazy stuff that you find on the internet. Now, go if you would to Proverbs chapter 30. Let me explain to you another well-known phenomenon. And this phenomenon is known as the Dunning-Kruger effect, right? Who knows what I'm talking about? Put up your hand if you know what I'm talking about. What this is that people who actually are educated and are actually smart, they typically have a low view of their own knowledge. They're typically humble about it, and they're constantly saying like, oh, you know, I have a lot to learn. I don't really know everything about it. I'm not an expert on this, right? Because the more you know, the more you realize you don't know. The more you learn, the more you find out that there's so much information out there, it's impossible to learn it all. And so people who have more understanding typically have a more humble view of their intellect. Whereas people who are dumb tend to have a very high view of their intellect and think that they know way more than they actually do. And here's a great example in Scripture of this phenomenon. If somebody is reading the book of Proverbs, they're gaining wisdom. Am I right? Yeah. What if you're writing the book of Proverbs? I'd say you're probably a pretty wise man. When God is literally using you to pen down Scripture, you are the vessel through which God speaks wise Proverbs. I'd say you're a pretty wise man. I mean, even the reader of Proverbs is going to have a lot of wisdom. How much more the author of Proverbs? Okay, but look what the Bible says in Proverbs 30. And this is an author of the book of Proverbs that, you know, we don't know who this guy is. We don't know anything about this guy. Because we just think of Solomon as being the author, but Solomon didn't write all of Proverbs. Because look at chapter 30, verse 1. It says, the words of Agur, who is that? No one knows. I don't know. We don't know. The words of Agur, oh, he's the son of Jakeh. Well, that clears things up. Even the prophecy. Well, I don't know who Jakeh is, so that doesn't really help. Well, you know, the man spake unto Ithiel. You know, Ithiel, right?
No.
Well, I mean, even unto Ithiel and you, Cal. I mean, if this is name dropping, it ain't working because I don't know who any of these people are. And nobody knows who any of these people are. You know, now at the time, these were probably some super smart, super well-known guys at the time. But you know what? As Ecclesiastes teaches us, eventually everybody's forgotten, aren't they? But at least these guys are immortalized in Scripture. But UCAL's not the University of California, just to clear that up. He didn't speak at UCAL or something, you know. But anyway, so, you know, this guy, we don't know who this guy is. But if God is using him as an author of the book of Proverbs, he's obviously an extremely wise man. There's no question about that. But look what he says. Surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. I've neither learned wisdom nor have the knowledge of the holy. That's kind of startling, isn't it? You know, it doesn't exactly build confidence in what's coming. You know, when this guy just says, you know what? I am stupider than anybody. You know, I'm more brutish than any man, and I have not the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom nor have the knowledge of the holy. And yet, here we are listening to this guy. And, you know, I've literally memorized this whole chapter. That this random dude, nobody knows who he is, nobody knows who he's talking to, and he just told us, I don't know what I'm talking about. And thousands of years later, some guy named Stephen Anderson, you know, as a 17-year-old, just memorizing this whole chapter and has preached several sermons about it, several full sermons on this chapter over the years. How does that even happen? Does that make any sense? Here's why it makes sense. Because the man's words are wise and they speak for themselves. The knowledge speaks for itself. First of all, God's word authenticates itself. This shows itself to be God's word because of its power and magnificence. It shows itself to be wise, and so wisdom is justified of all her children. And so here we are, nobody's doubting this. I've never heard anyone in my entire life say, I don't think Proverbs 30 is legitimate. You know, people have doubted other parts of the Bible. I've never had anyone in my entire life tell me that Proverbs 30 wasn't legitimate, even though it's written by a completely random person, and the guy starts out by saying, I don't know anything. Okay? Does everybody understand what's going on? Well, guess what? This is because super smart people, wise people, have a low, humble view of their knowledge. They don't go around proclaiming themselves to be so smart and such experts. I mean, I saw some stupid video the other day. Somebody sent me this video of this guy, and he was talking about how, you know, God took him on a journey to hell, and he had this experience and this vision, and he was taken on a trip to hell, and God told him not to preach once saved, always saved anymore, you know. Because if he did, he was going to end up in hell. Did anybody see this? This is going around a few people. And here's what was so funny. In the course of this video, the guy literally says, he's like, yeah, you know, my whole life. I mean, this guy's a total idiot. And this is what he says. He's like, yeah, my whole life, you know, I've kind of had to tone down my intellect around people, you know, because it's just like I'm so smart, it kind of intimidates people. And so I typically have to kind of dumb that down and tone that down. I mean, you know what? Anybody who talks like that is a fool. I'll tell you that right now. It's the exact opposite of what we're seeing in Scripture here. You know, Agur's attitude is literally the opposite. And, you know, I can't even count how many times I've been out soul winning and talked to somebody who said, oh, I don't go to church because I know more than every pastor. In fact, I just recently saw a meme where a guy was walking through Home Depot and the guy's asking, hey, can I help you with anything? And then he tells the worker at Home Depot, I know more than you. And you know what's funny is that the meme was labeled as, oh, this is Jesus at age 12. with the rabbis. But you want to know what's so stupid about that? Is that if you actually read that Bible story, Jesus is not telling the rabbis, I know more than you. You know what impressed the doctors and the lawyers and the Jewish scribes and leaders about the 12-year-old Jesus? What were they impressed by? Does anybody know? Does anybody remember? The questions that he asked. He wasn't going in there and just blowing off his mouth as a 12-year-old. He was literally asking them questions. Okay? He wasn't saying, I know more than you. Right? It's like, you know, if you're going to make a meme about the Bible, read the Bible first. Like, and look, I'm for you memeing the Bible. I would love to see the Bible, I would love to see every chapter of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation memed. You know, somebody started the project. But, you know, that's not accurate. Don't believe every meme. That's, you know, try the memes whether they be of God. Because many false memes have gone out into the world. But that's the attitude, right? People that are dumb have this attitude of, I know more than you. I know I'm an expert. You know, that's not what I see here. I see a guy who's being humble about his knowledge and then demonstrating his knowledge. Now, why is he humble about his knowledge? Well, look what he says in verse 4. Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Here's what he's saying. There are a lot of fundamental things about this world that I don't know. He's basically saying, I don't know. I don't know these things. You know, I haven't been up to heaven. I haven't seen where God lives. I don't know the name of the Son of God. Now, we know the name of the Son of God is Jesus. Amen. He didn't know that. He's living in the Old Testament. He didn't know that. Go, if you would, to Job 38. Job 38. See, the dumbest people think they're smart. And the smartest people think that they are dumb and that they don't know enough. This is ironic, but true. You know, I was involved with some of my pastor friends this week in a conversation, and we were talking about something, and somebody brought up like, oh, Pastor Jimenez, you know, knows about this subject. He did a couple sermons on it. And you know, Pastor Jimenez's response was like, hey, I'm not an expert on this at all. You know, yes, I did two sermons on it, but, you know, I don't know a lot about it. And he was just, you know, whereas this other guy online about the same subject just, he's an expert, he'll debate anyone, and I'll take on anyone. It's just, and I'd be willing to bet anything that Pastor Jimenez knows more about the subject than that guy. Look at Job 38, verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Now, this is a reference to Elihu, who's been running his mouth for several chapters and doesn't know what he's talking about. And God shows up and says, well, who is this guy who is darkening counsel by words without knowledge? And folks, there are some people darkening counsel online, on the radio, on TV, with words without knowledge. Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee and answer thou me. And now God is actually speaking to a man who is a wise man. Job is a wise man. But even the wise man Job, he says, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof and thick darkness a swaddling band for it and brake up for it my decreed place and set bars and doors and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days and caused the day spring to know his place? And just on and on and on he goes. You know, verse 18, hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare if thou knowest it all. See, nobody knows it all. You know, it's sort of like the Bible says about John the Baptist, right? Among those that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And you know what? Even the smartest man in the earth knows nothing compared to what God knows. And so even the wisest man on this earth should be super humble before God and say, wow, there's a lot that I don't know. And that's exactly what Agur is saying in those first few verses of Proverbs chapter 30. Perfect example of a truly intellectual, wise man who is humble about his knowledge and not blowing off his mouth. Yeah, typically I have to tone down my intellect, you know, because it intimidates people. I doubt that. And I think one of the, and I know that this is going to make some people mad, possibly, because some people still like this guy for some bizarre reason. But, you know, I think that the poster child for the Dunning-Kruger effect is Kent Hovind. You know, a person who is just so full of himself and thinks he's so smart and is a complete idiot and doesn't know what he's talking about. Now look at me. Look, facts are stubborn things, my friend, okay? And here are the facts, okay? The man has been running a creation ministry for decades. Creation, science, evangelism. The man is a self-proclaimed pastor of a church called Genesis Baptist Church. I wonder what this guy specializes in. What is he claiming to know about, if not the beginning of the book of Genesis, creation? He can't stop talking about what? Creation and the flood. These are his two favorite subjects. If it's not creation, it's the flood. All day long and twice on Sunday, this is his bread and butter. This is what he went around the country touring and talking about for so many years and everything. Now look, wouldn't you expect for a moment, wouldn't you expect that somebody who specializes in that subject would just know Genesis 1 through 11 like the back of their hand? I mean, look, the Bible's a big book, my friend. The Bible has 1,189 chapters. Now, look, I'm just a pastor of a Baptist church. I don't specialize in any section of the Bible. It's my job to really try to just give a balanced diet to the people of God. So I'm all over the Bible. You know, I'm all over. I try to kind of preach it all equally and try to cover everything. And I don't have a certain part of the Bible that I'm just super emphasizing, you know, because I'm trying to give a balanced diet to God's people. But, you know, wouldn't you think that somebody who is super specialized would at least know that one little part of the Bible that's only 11 chapters? I mean, here I am, and here other pastors all over America are, and we have 1,189 chapters to deal with and grapple with, right? Wouldn't you expect him to at least be able to master those first? I mean, if you're going to go around and be an expert, you should have those chapters memorized. I mean, you should know those chapters super well, should know everything about them. And yet the guy can't even have a conversation for like an hour or two without just completely contradicting the teachings of the first 11 chapters of Genesis alone, let alone common sense, physics, biology, and everything else. You know, I'll just give you a couple of examples. We had this conversation on Pastor Shelley's podcast, The Baptist Bias, and Kent Hovind came on there. And he and I were going back and forth a little bit and so forth. And one of the things that, if you would go to Genesis chapter 4, And one of the things that he was saying was he kept talking about the world being this paradise before the flood. He's just talking about like the whole time before the flood, which is like around 1,656 years or something, right? If you just kind of add up the numbers. So it's somewhere in that ballpark of like 1,600 and some years. He just acted like it was just a paradise. He kept using that word like, oh, it's just this paradise before the flood, just paradise before the flood. And then he was saying literally, and those who listen to this broadcast know that what I'm saying is true and can testify that what I'm saying is true. He was saying like, oh, well, you didn't really need to build buildings in those days because, you know, the weather was so good. Before the flood, it was just such a paradise. The weather was so good, you could just sleep outside. And so you just be outside and, you know, you don't need to really build much. That's why we don't, you know, have the evidence. He doesn't even know what we have, but anyway, that's another point. But what a stupid thing to say if you've actually read the Bible. Because look at Genesis chapter 4. The Bible says in verse 16, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city. Now, how does that work with what Kent Hovind was teaching? Well, they didn't really build much. They didn't really need to build houses. The guy built a stinking city.
Amen.
He built a literal city. I mean, at that point in the interview, I was kind of just done arguing because I'd already like argued so much. I just was choosing my battles. I was just kind of like, whatever. The other thing that just really blew my mind, because I was thinking to myself too, like, what sense does that make? The Bible literally says in Genesis 6 that the whole earth was filled with violence. So, it says in verse number 11, for example, of Genesis 6, if you want to look at it, the earth also was corrupt before God and the earth was filled with violence. Now, if the earth is filled with violence, don't you want to have a house and lock the door and put a fence around it and a gate around it? Or you're just camping in paradise? That's ridiculous. Not only that, describing it as a paradise is foolish because the Bible says that God literally cursed the ground. So as soon as they're kicked out of the garden, let me tell you what paradise was. The Garden of Eden was paradise. Okay, Garden of Eden is paradise. When they're kicked out of the Garden of Eden, God curses the ground and says, you're going to have to till it by the sweat of your face because it is going to bring forth thorns and thistles and it is going to be cursed. And this is what he calls paradise. Then not only that, he says in this conversation that we have that after the flood, well, the soil was worse after the flood because of the salt water. What in the world? The Bible literally teaches the opposite. Because in Genesis chapter 3, let's look at it ourselves right now. Let's do a little fact check here. Genesis chapter 3, it says in verse number 17, it says, unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of the which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return to the ground, and on and on. Go to Genesis chapter 8, after the flood. That's before the flood. That's what it's like for all that time before the flood. The ground is cursed. It's difficult to make things grow. Thorns and thistles are dominating. But then when we go after the flood, it says in verse 21 of chapter 8, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. What's he saying? He's saying, look, from the time of the Garden of Eden until the flood, the ground was cursed. Is the ground cursed right now? No, you're just bad at gardening. Okay, don't blame Adam and Eve for that you can't make stuff grow. Okay, because guess what? It's not cursed. You know, but you hear these people that we're living on a cursed earth and all this. It's like, no, the curse is lifted. At the end of the flood, he says, I'm not going to curse the ground anymore. So, okay, pop quiz. Let's see if you've been listening for the last 60 seconds. Let's see if you can read what we just saw in Genesis 3 and Genesis 8. Was the soil worse before or after the flood? Do, 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 do. Yeah, the soil was worse before the flood because it's cursed by God. After the flood, he lifts the curse, right? I mean, you'd think these are just some kind of basic things. I mean, if you're going to just be like, just building a whole ministry on these 11 chapters, right? Pouring over this stuff, right? Wouldn't you think that you would think about those things a little bit? Like the fact they're building cities, the fact that the ground is cursed. And by the way, if the ground is cursed and it's really hard to grow things, we shouldn't necessarily assume that everybody's a farmer. Because that's not necessarily the best way to get food if it's that hard to farm. Oh, wait, we have evidence in the Bible. Look at Genesis chapter 4. Of course, we have Abel. It says in verse 2, was a keeper of the sheep and Cain was a tiller of the ground. Looks like Abel's not a tiller of the ground. Looks like Abel is instead a keeper of the sheep. Not only that, but if we read a little bit further, it says in verse number 17, and Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And Enoch, unto Enoch was born Irad, And Irad begat Mehujael, and Mehujael begat Methusael, and Methusael begat Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives, and the name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other was Zillah. And Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as do what? Dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. Right? So here's my question. Why would you be raising cattle if everybody's a vegetarian? You know, if everybody's a vegetarian, raising cattle is a bad investment. Being a keeper of the sheep is a bad deal if everybody's a vegetarian. Also, if the whole world's filled with violence and they're killing humans, they probably don't feel bad about killing Bambi and sticking her on a spit and roasting her with fire and eating. It's just not true. I mean, look, the Bible says that these people are raising cattle. Okay, that's not, look, it's, oh man, it's super hard to get food and the ground is cursed, but let's raise cattle and not eat them. This isn't Hinduism, folks. Unto Enoch was born Irad, on and on. Oh yeah, and then look at the next thing it says in verse 21. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handled the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. You know, it sounds like they had some pretty sophisticated stuff going on. At least they're making things out of brass and iron. They're making metal instruments, metal implements. They're building cities. They have cattle, all these different things that, you know, apparently he is totally unaware of, even though this part of the Bible is supposedly his bread and butter. But you know what? He's super popular. Tons of people listen to his stuff. And there's, oh, wow, that's interesting. But what you've got to learn to do is critically evaluate the stuff that you're hearing and go home, check it out. And look, I'm not immune from making mistakes. I make mistakes too. The difference is when somebody shows me my mistakes, then I will actually adjust my beliefs where necessary if I'm wrong about something, okay? Obviously, nobody is going to be infallible. But if you're going to put yourself out there as an expert, you think you could at least get the basics of your subject right. Or how about this little gem? And I'm not even going to bring up the fact about rocks shooting from the earth during the flood and putting all the craters on the moon, because the water pressure shot rocks at the moon and created all the many thousand. And then he tried to deny that there were over 5,000 craters on the moon that were 12 miles in diameter or greater. Like, bro, do you think I just made that number up right now or something? Obviously, I actually did research on that.
He's like, oh, I'd like to see that, you know, how you could fit 5,000 craters when the moon's only 2,000 miles in diameter.
It's like the easiest math problem in the world that a junior higher could figure out. But not only that, he tried to say that he believed that the pyramids were built before the flood, that the Great Pyramid was built before the flood by godly people who wanted to pass the gospel on to the next generation. Okay, and this has got to be one of the dumbest theories in the world. This thing of the Great Pyramid is built by God's people as like a gospel tract for the next generation. That's the stupidest gospel tract I've ever heard of. Talk about inefficiency. Well, here's what's funny about that is that, you know, the pyramids, it's estimated that they took about 20 years to build with about 25,000 people working on it full time. So it's like 25,000 people working on it full time for 20 years so that some bozo could tell us about some vague gospel connection of, hey, there's 144 stones, like the 144,000 in Revelation. It's like, hey, idiot, clocks are based on the number 12 too. 12 hours in a day, the 12 disciples. You know, it's like, what? 12's a pretty basic number. 12 times 12. It's 144. It's the gospel.
You know, oh, you know, you enter the Great Pyramid, and if you take the broad way, it leads to the pit, and if you take the narrow way, it leads to the king's chamber, and you find an empty tomb. What kind of a stupid, ridiculous absurdity is this?
So I have an idea. Instead of just writing the gospel down, instead of just talking to people about the gospel, instead of just preaching the gospel, here's what we're going to do. Let's just have 25,000 people do back-breaking work for 20 years straight and break their backs building this gigantic monument to tell us, you know, what the gospel is. It's absurd. Where does the Bible teach any of this garbage? The Bible always teaches Egypt as being a bad place. Sodom and Egypt. Spiritual Egypt is wickedness. It represents the world. It's going down. It's bad. Egypt, right? Why would Egypt be the source of some gospel message? Why would, and let me ask you this. Who builds giant structures like that today in this world? I mean, think about the giant structures of this world, right? Hoover Dam, right? Gigantic monuments. You know who does it? Tyrannical governments. Or, you know, just people with just huge amounts of power and money that want to just impress other people, right? They build these giant monuments to show, look how great we are, look how powerful we are. And here's the thing. When you read about how these type of things are constructed, there's just so many people dying. So many people have horrible working conditions, and it's just all this literal blood and sweat and tears that go into these gigantic man-made monuments. But I'm supposed to believe that, well, Shem and Arphaxad built the pyramid. Enoch built the pyramid. I saw some idiot online saying that Job built the pyramid. Like why don't we just pick your biblical character? Let's pick a really wild biblical character to build the pyramid. You know, it was Samson that built the pyramid. Doggone it. There's that 20-year gap in Samson's life. He was down in Egypt building the pyramid. And he was using his super strength. How'd they lift those blocks? Easy. Samson did it. I mean, that makes about as much sense as saying Shem built the pyramid. Yes, Shem just enslaved 20,000 people for 20 years to make a gospel track. Bro, there's a better way to build a gospel track than that. It's called get a piece of paper and write it down. Etch it into stone. Or just, how about you just orally tell it to people and they can learn it and tell it to the next generation. Totally, and you say, well, he didn't say it was for sure. He just said that's what he believes. Yeah, but what kind of an idiot even believes something like that? Now look, you say, well, Pastor Anderson, I used to believe in it. But hold on a second. You probably just hadn't thought it through. Did you go around the country teaching it? Do you still believe it 30 years later after people told you how stupid it was? And 30 years later, well, I'm not going to fight anybody, not going to split the church over it, but I just think that, you know, maybe Enoch built the pyramid. Like, just a guy just decides to just build a pyramid. It was built by like 25,000 people who are slaving and working and suffering. Because it was something evil, my friend. It's a pagan evil shrine. It's some evil pharaoh who's so obsessed with himself and thinks he's God and everybody's worshiping him, so he just makes everybody just die and suffer and slave so that he can just have some monument to himself. That's what it is. That's what they all are. That's what all these things are. There's nothing new under the sun. I had other stuff I want to talk about tonight. I don't have time, but I was just going to talk about other stuff. I don't want to go into it. I mean, giants that are 30 feet tall and, you know, all the deep fakes and all the, you know, there's just a lot out there, my friend. What am I trying to say tonight? What's the purpose of the sermon? What's the takeaway? What's the message? The message is don't believe everything that you hear, my friend. Okay? Look, you've got to do some real learning, okay? And look, maybe you're not into math. Maybe you're not into science. No problem. Don't go around pretending to be an authority on those things, right? Nobody's telling you you have to be into math and science. But if you don't know about things, then just lay your hand upon your mouth and just say, I don't know about that. You know, people ask me stuff all the time. I'm just like, I don't know about that subject. I can't really talk about that because I don't know anything about that. I don't know what that is. Okay? Don't be afraid to just not talk about things that you don't know about. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted as a man of great understanding. Okay? So look, if you do want to know about a subject, do the real work of learning, which means going to the library or going to the bookstore and getting some actual books and doing some actual reading and study. And look, I'm not against learning through audio formats or YouTube videos if they're coming from a reputable source and if the information can be verified and fact-checked, okay? Yeah, there are some good reputable sources, but you know what? Make sure that you're getting stuff from a reputable source and back it up with some actual book learning. You know, well, I'm just not into book learning. Okay, then you're just not a smart person. Okay, that's okay. But quit pretending to be one, because you're not. Because guess what? Smart people are into book learning. And you're not going to believe this, but the Bible is a book. Not a YouTube video. And if you go around talking about how you don't like book learning, that's just kind of another way of saying, like, I'm not that smart. I'm kind of dumb. I'm not into learning. I'm a little bit of a simple one. I'm kind of a fool. And so therefore, I shouldn't be talking about things as if I'm an authority. Okay? And look, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but we're living in a day where this is epidemic. Just so many people out there just proclaiming things as fact with no basis. There's all kinds of lying and trash out there in the world, and even the fact checkers are full of baloney. You've got to learn how to critically evaluate information. And when somebody comes at you with these wild claims, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, just basically just anything Kent Hovind says, you know, just when he comes at you with these wild claims, you know, stop and do the math. Pause it and go to the source and see if it's even coming from a reputable source or from some guy who's in prison for being a literal con man. That's where the footnote leads you. That's a bad sign about that particular data point. You got to learn how to evaluate information. Folks, being able to evaluate critically information in 2024 is kind of a life survival skill. You know, being able to know what's true and what's false and being able to know what you can trust on the internet. I mean, how many times do you see people sharing fake news all the time, just sharing fake news and fake articles, and they think it's real? And there are so many things you can do to avoid making a fool of yourself like that, right? Like, here's an idea. If you have an article and you're not sure if it's real, here's what you do. Go to the homepage of that website. Okay? This is just like a real quick tick, and then we're going to close and go home. People share articles that they think are real. They're satire. They're parodies. They're fake news, and they think it's real. But here's a tip. Click on the home button of that website. Go to the homepage. And if everything on the homepage is real funny and sounds real weird and crazy, and it's talking about a bat boy and a 300-pound baby, then you know it's a fake site. I mean, just that little tip alone would keep you from embarrassing yourself, you know, by sharing fake news. Because if you go to the homepage, usually it's very obvious this is a fake news site. You know, it's comedic purposes or whatever. And you know what? These fake news sites, I mean, you know, sometimes they're funny, but it's like you almost wish they didn't exist because it's like, because people think they're real is the problem. You know, I've even been featured in some fake news articles where they had fake news and they said that, and they were like quoting Pastor Anderson and stuff, like on the Babylon Bee. I'm not against the Babylon Bee, okay? But like they had Babylon Bee articles about me quoting me and having me say all these absurd things, which, haha, it's funny. But the sad thing is that some people think that it's real. That's the sad part. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the Bible, Lord. In a world of lies and disinformation, thank you for giving us at least one source that we know is true, Lord. Help us to be able to discern right from wrong. Help us to be able to avoid the fakes and the charlatans, the quacks, the frauds, the liars of this world, Lord, that pretend they know parts of the Bible that they don't know. They pretend they know science. They pretend to know math, and they don't know anything, Lord. Help us to be able to sift through that garbage and actually be able to gain good wisdom and good instruction, Lord. Help us to attain unto wise counsels. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.